Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association
every
with bizradio.co.uk. What?
Every time.
What?
E. By gum. Every time.
I didn't say E.
You did.
I'm not from up north.
Exactly. It's just not, so funny.
I'm not a pirate.
I should put on a bet with somebody. Anyway, carry on. Yeah.
Go I said, hey.
Oh, is that it?
Hey.
Is that your DJ thing?
Yeah, it's a DJ thing. Hello.
Carry on being professional. Go.
Sorry, no, you've completely destroyed my intro now.
Go, I'm sorry.
Anyway, I don't know where
it's
I was now.
It's all going to go wrong now.
It's all going to go Pete Tong now, now you've interrupted. Anyway, yeah. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and her.
Me.
Who is?
Burden Bike.
Miss on a bike. How you doing?
I'm all right, yeah.
How was your Ironman? You did an Ironman, didn't you?
Yeah, it was tough. And to be honest with you, how I am in one piece and alive, I promise you, it was remarkable. Remarkable,
was it?
Yeah. Horrific weather. Horrific. I've never done a sweet swim. A sweet swim, swike it.
A sweet swim.
It was awful. I felt so seasick even yesterday. Poor Stephen, love, I'm so sorry.
Did you let him down?
No, I don't know. I don't really care anymore. It was like, it was amazing.
So how far did you swim in the sea?
Well, they had to shorten the swim because of
the weather.
Horrific weather.
Yeah.
I mean, it was horrific.
Right.
And it's all right for Stephen because he's like Olympic swimmer. But for me, that's not my forte. But I loved the bike. I loved the bike, like ridiculous. But the winds were howling. Mm. There was debris everywhere. It was soaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I was less wet in the water.
Right.
Seriously, it was that bad. And then the run was just hold on for dear life to get down the red carpet and showboat as you're going down the red carpet like this.
And you do this for fun.
Somebody put this sign up. It was genius. Somebody put this sign up saying, and we pay for this. And you stood in the freezing cold. You can imagine, wetsuit on, you got your helmet. You've got nothing on your feet, and you stood there for an hour waiting to get in the water. And you're like, at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, and we had to get up at 4 by the time you're fueling. Yeah. It was just freezing. Right. Here's the funniest bit. I usually take about 2 or 3 minutes in transition. I'm like whipping in. 15 minutes it took me to even get my hands moving for me to get wetsuit on. It was just horrific.
Sorry, I've done it.
Horrific. So whoever finished, who didn't finish, I tell you, what an amazing. This is when you see humans at their best.
It is crazy, isn't it? Trying to get a wetsuit off when you're cold is just impossible.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
There were people who literally, and you know that it's extreme, because these people turn up anyway. They've done 6 months training. You know, then it's not like a fun run. These people are extreme athletes that have trained for this moment, and they're even coming out of the water, and they've got the aluminium blankets around them, and they were like, I'm not going on the bike. I'm like looking at them thinking, you're not getting on the bike. It was just like crazy. And it was that it mentally it took you to another place. So amazing, but thank you for asking.
So you had fun
recovering, repairing.
All right.
And I'm feeling under the weather, if I'm honest, but it'll be all right. It's what I love to do, apparently.
I love fit people.
Yeah.
They're always ill.
It's really funny because, listen, right?
Oh, yeah.
I just had the BBC on, darling.
The BBC.
The BBC. Mm. And they were saying about, I was just talking to them about this, and they said to me, what have you been doing this weekend, Barb, blah, 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 blah. And I said to them, they said, we're going to be talking. So if you want to hear a big conversation about fat and the wealth and health of the nation, they want to talk about, is being fat now okay? Because we're now saying that happiness takes over the composition of your body.
Yep.
We're not going to get into that conversation. No, but that's what we're going to talk about. If you want to hear me, I'm on 3:20 on the BBC, darling.
Right.
Anyway, and we were just saying then, The fittest of people on Sunday did not survive because their body fat composition was too low.
Yeah.
So they got so cold and you couldn't move. So you needed more fat to survive in that environment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
So even Stephen was like, oh my God, some of those shapes and sizes were overtaking you because my body composition is ridiculously low on fat and you get dangerously low. So as much as it is to have too much fat, to have too little fat
was also bad.
In an environment was, so it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So the greatest of shapes made the red carpet day.
Cool.
What did you do this weekend?
Not that. I laid around eating chocolate and watching the telly. I'm fine.
But here's the interesting thing. I couldn't get food into me because your stomach shut down.
I ate it for you. Don't worry.
There you go. Excellent. Good.
Nice one.
Forever my friend.
Yeah, I see I was helping you out.
Thanks, love.
No, that's all right. I'm always happy to do that.
Good.
Lay on the sofa and eat. Yeah. Just for you. I wouldn't do it for anyone else.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, listen.
What?
We want to hear from you. Businesses out there in the southeast of England, you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could, in fact, call me on 01233. 220035.
They won't call. No,
they won't.
Calls.
They do occasionally, and then I don't answer it anyway. It's Ashford, 01233 220035. You can email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. We have already had quite a few tweets, and we will be reading them. But what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to play you some recorded interviews. We interviewed some people at the Construction Expo South East at Ardingly last
week. What was it like?
Week before last. It was good. It was the first time it was there in Sussex. It was a really good show. There was loads of interesting people there. And I've got three people that I talked to while I was there. Do you want to hear from them?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Hey, this is Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker Radio Show. We're here live at the South of England Construction Expo in Ardingly. And I just come onto a stand at Advanced Waste Solutions. Hello, folks. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
It's good to see you. Are you enjoying the day so far?
So far, it's been very good. It's been well supported, I think, with visitors. And, looking forward to this afternoon.
Cool. I'm talking to Marcus here on the Advanced Waste Solutions stand here. So tell us a little bit about your business.
Advanced Waste Solutions is a company that offers a complete waste solution on a national basis. We work for a lot of the major blue chip construction businesses throughout the UK, and we manage their waste responsibilities.
Oh, okay, so you're taking waste away from building sites, basically?
Basically, yeah. In layman's terms, yes, we are.
Cool. Yeah, I'm a layman. I'm a bear of very little brain, don't worry. So you're removing waste from a building and construction site.
Yes.
So you're taking away things like bricks and tiles and bits of concrete and all that kind of stuff?
Yes, we are, among a host of other things.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is educate our clients into doing things a little bit better.
Okay.
Enhancing their green credentials,
right.
Segregating on site, and actually trying to stop them producing the waste in the first place.
Okay. So you don't just bung it all in a skip and cart it off and throw it in a hole?
That would be easy.
Yeah, that would be the easy bit.
Yeah.
So you're analysing the waste that's coming out of these sites?
We run through the material schedule.
Right.
We run through the build programme.
Okay.
And we put a proposal that is pertinent to that site, and we offer that solution. Just because it worked on a site 2 miles away,
yep,
doesn't mean it's going to work on that site.
Okay.
That we're dealing with. It's not a one-size-fits-all.
Okay. So it's highly customizable to what
very specific.
Doing.
Okay. Very specific.
That's fantastic.
Hmm.
That's fantastic. And presumably, by looking at this and doing it in this particular way, you can go back to businesses and go, do you know what? You know, you wasted, I don't know, £100,000 worth of roof tiles that you didn't need because you threw them away.
Yep.
That's amazing. It's
trying to manage their environmental and sustainability responsibilities.
Yeah, yeah.
It's giving back to local businesses. We're very keen to promote local resource.
Yep.
We're trying to save them money.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a big thing at the moment.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And just make sure they're doing it right.
Absolutely. And tidying up in the process.
Keeping things nice and clean. Clean
and
tidy.
That's fantastic. I love that. Marcus, thank you so much for that. That's really brilliant. If people want to find out more about your business, what's your website?
aws.uk.com.
Fantastic. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
I'm at the Construction Expo South East here at Ardingly. We're moving into the early afternoon now, and I've been walking around the exhibition hall. There's lots and lots of interesting things happening here, and I've just come onto the 4J stand. Hello there.
Hello.
Good to see you. And your name is?
It's Sarah Worsfold.
Hi. So tell us a little bit about 4Js. I do know about 4Js because I see your trucks all the time. But tell the listeners a little bit about 4Js.
We're a family-owned business and run business. Been around for a very long time now, 60 years, in fact.
Wow. You don't look old enough.
Sadly, it wasn't me. Well, it's my in-laws who started the business as a farm.
Oh, right, okay.
And diversified from farming into toilet hire and marquee hire.
Fantastic. And is that entirely what you concentrate on now with 4Js?
I have a few sheep and a bit of arable and a bit of woodland, but yes.
You've still got a bit of farm.
plumbing going on.
Sadly, it doesn't make us the money anymore.
You've got to do something with the contents of the toilets, presumably. Yeah.
Well, no, it doesn't, definitely doesn't go on the farmland. No.
Does it not? I was on dodgy ground there, really, wasn't I?
It would have been very dodgy ground, yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the business, the kind of range of products that you have. I mean, okay, you have portable loos, but they're all kinds of things, aren't they?
Yeah, so we have the individual loos and welfare units go out to construction sites and farms for their pickers. Yeah. That's all year round. And go out and service them weekly with a team of guys with their pump trucks, which you probably see on the roads locally.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then we also have the marquee side and the toilets for the events. So again, the individual loos, but also the trailer toilets.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I'm getting on a bit now. And I suddenly started seeing in the last few years building sites, even very small building sites that have a port-a-loo there.
Absolutely.
Or Joe's toilet. Yeah. And it suddenly struck me, well, when did this happen? Was that a piece of legislation that made
it
happen?
It was, yeah, the Health and Safety Executive, enforcing people to have welfare for their construction workers or for the farms. Okay. So instead of popping behind a hedge or a tree, you actually have to have a toilet now.
Absolutely. Okay, cool. And do you collect them or pump them out? How does it work?
Absolutely. So we deliver them to wherever it might be needed for the long-term or the events, and then we go out and service them on a weekly basis for the long-term hires.
Right.
So we have a team of trucks that go out and do that. So it might be for a small site, or it might have 10 toilets on one site.
Right.
The M23 road works, for example, at the moment. We've got lots of different units we service down there for one of our customers. So anything up to a big tanker lorry, emptying people's cesspits.
Okay, cool. Do you do, like, executive boutique kind of loos?
Yes, absolutely. We have lots of themed trailer toilets. So we've got shepherd's huts. We've got alternative options as well.
There's some pictures on the walls, listeners. There's some very interesting stuff. Oh, I don't know if I can do that one.
Yeah, that's a bit of an alternative. I'm using urinal, which goes down well with some people, but not so well with others.
For the listeners that can't see it, it's a men's urinal with some ladies looking over the top of the urinal. It's not nice.
No, it doesn't go down well everywhere, but people like it. We've got a sense of humour.
I'm sure. Cool. So the business has been going 60 years.
Yep.
That's amazing. That's really cool. Are you growing? What kind of area do you cover? Is it just Kent? Or?
No, absolutely not. Across the southeast. So we're here, obviously, in West Sussex today, but we do the equivalent over in Kent as well. So right across up to the M3. Within the whole of the M25 and South Essex, so right across the southeast.
Fantastic, cool. And that's really brilliant. Look, if people want to find out more about 4Js, how can they do that?
Yeah, the easiest way is through our website, so it's www.4js.co.uk.
Fabulous, thanks very much for that. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too, Andy.
Things are still in full swing here at the Southeast Construction Expo in Ardingly, and I've just walked onto a stand of a very interesting organisation called Geotech, and I've just met Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm really well, thanks. How are you enjoying the day?
Really good, actually. It's been excellent, yeah.
Cool, I'm not surprised. He's got lots of sweeties on his stand.
Yeah, too right. Yeah, that certainly attracts people, yeah.
It does, doesn't it? I'm looking at what you do, and it's really fascinating. You're underground mapping specialist.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So we detect and map the presence of subsurface features, such as buried services and utilities, which is the main thing that we do.
Right.
But we also do some more geophysical surveys for more quirky things like mine shafts, buried wells, tanks, and dissolution features, things like that.
Okay, I'm not knowledgeable in any of this. So are the kind of people that would come to you, is it someone that's acquired a site and wants to build something and they go, I wonder what's under there?
Yeah, pretty well. I mean, in all cases, really, but it can be consultants and architects at the beginning or builders on the ground who you know, may have found something they didn't want to. So the full spectrum, really.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming when you're looking for utilities like electric cables and water pipes and stuff like that, that you kind of do it because they're metal or they're electric. What if they're in plastic pipes?
Well, we use ground penetrating radar as well, and that will pick up changes in ground density. So if the service is big enough and shallow enough, essentially, then we should pick that up. But the GPR picks up everything, or it's supposed to at least. Mm. So we would we'd look for the conductive and the metallic features first with the radio frequency detection, and then go over the site again with the radar to pick up anything else we haven't found.
Fantastic! Wow, that's really interesting. And you mentioned GPR.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yes. Ground penetrating radar.
Right. Okay.
So that works on signals being put into the ground, and then the change, if you like, will come back to us as return signals.
Oh, I see. Okay. Cool. Wow, that's really fascinating stuff. Nice. Tom, thank you very much for that. If people want to find out more about what Geotech do, what's the best way to do that?
Our website, which is www.geotech.co.uk. geotechsurveys.com, and geotech is G-E-O-T-E-C. There's no H.
Fantastic. Tom, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Cool. Thanks very much.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed. Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. PhoenixAnalystsLimited.com.
JobsInKent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, JobsInKent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. That was some interviews we recorded the week before last at the Construction Expo at Ardingly, the South East Construction Expo. I'm now joined on the phone, hopefully, by Matt Skinner. Hello, Matt.
Hello, how you doing, Paul?
I'm really well, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you're on a hectic schedule, and I think you've only kind of just about arrived back in the country, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just got back in from France, seeing a client this morning in Nice, which was very nice. We got in this morning, and I've run into London, and I'm speaking to you from central London at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Matt is from Procter & Stevenson, based in Bristol, and very shortly, in the next couple of weeks at the end of October, he's going to be one of the keynote speakers at an event that's happening here in Kent, at the Digital in Kent conference in Folkestone. So, Matt, give us a quick overview of what it is you do and what it is Procter & Stevenson do.
Sure, yeah, we're a B2B specialist marketing communications and technology agency, like I said, based in Bristol. I'm the head of digital strategy and data, so I look after digital marketing campaigns, how to use your data, pulling together ideas and plans for clients, and then we deal with technology, technological solutions, marketing technology, and creative, so brand, advertising, design, all everything that you could think of, we do.
Fantastic. Sounds really interesting. And we're going to be hearing from you, as I say, at the Digital in Kent conference. Give us an overview. I mean, obviously, people are going to come and hear the full thing from you, but give us a flavour of the kind of things that you're going to be telling us about.
Yeah, so I'm going to be talking about defining your metrics and your measurement in B2B marketing and what it means. What I'm going to be talking about is B2B marketing and advertising is kind of very different to B2C. It's in a lot of ways, it's a lot harder. The example that we give to clients is, so Walker's Crisps, for example, Walker's Crisps sell about 3 billion, or there are 3 billion packets of crisps sold every year. Wow. In the UK, which is something like £38 per head on crisps are spent every year.
That's just me.
So if you're so there's marketing to that audience and that data set that you're using, it's a skill, but really what you're looking at is a large volume of information that you can optimize from. Now, that's good, but when you come into the B2B, Jeff's Potatoes, someone who sells potatoes to people who make crisps, they've probably got an audience of about 50 that they're looking to target. Big money deals, but it's much harder to use big data tactics with B2B. It's not entirely possible. You can't really get the statistics and the significance of data that you would need in order to make optimizations based on the data. So in order to work with B2B, you need to be a bit more creative. You need to be able to use your instincts and make sure your instincts are good. To a certain extent, where the data informs what you're going to do, and then you kind of have to make a best judgment, then test. So what I'm talking about is how you measure that in B2B, given those conditions.
Okay, that's really interesting, isn't it? And you're absolutely right, in a B2B market, it is about demographics, isn't it? And it kind of depends very much on what it is you do and who you're aiming at, and all those kind of things. Funny enough, I was talking to my youngest son about this. He's a business development manager for a publishing company, and they publish very, 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 very specific magazines to very small numbers of readers, but very high net worth type businesses. And he was saying how many people approach him to advertise in his magazine, and he actually turns them away and says, well, no, you're not the right person to advertise here because it's just such a small specialist market.
And the thing with B2B is that you are selling a product or service, and that's true, and you're marketing a product or service, but someone isn't buying just that product or service. They're buying into a relationship between two people. So your sales representatives, you if you own a smaller business, when you go for a B2B sale, a lot of B2B marketing needs to enable you to establish a relationship with someone, and the person will be buying from you as much as they're buying your product or service. So making sure that you can support that process and making sure you can measure whether or not it's happening is something that I'm going to be talking about, particularly the role of digital and digital and websites and advertising online, what that does and how it works.
Okay, so are we going to be looking at the normal range of digital things, you know, so social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and so on?
Yeah, we're going to be looking at that. There's a lot of B2B marketers, I find, they're looking at B2C tactics. And one of the things that I'm going to be talking about is website is central to any business. It's the face of your business. It's going to be the biggest audience. It's your biggest potential to get out in front of people. But that the marketing team's job doesn't start and end with that website. So in a B2C context, is you bring someone to a website, they buy something, and then you automate the process to hopefully get them to buy something again. And you can really do that entire process without having to speak to someone. The role of advertising and social media in B2B and the website is to start more conversations, to amplify the number of conversations you can have.
Okay.
So when you convert someone on a website, what tends to happen, or happens a lot of times with B2B companies, and particularly B2B marketing teams, is that they see someone fills in a form, for example, on a website, and that's the marketing team's job done. We've got someone to the website, we've made a transaction, as you would in a consumer site. Someone's made the transaction. Now that's our job done. We can move on. No, that's the start of a very, very long journey. A lot of B2B companies have very long lead times. It takes a long time to convert someone.
Sure.
And as the marketer, you need to be there to support your sales team along that entire process.
Fantastic. Well, we're looking forward to hearing from you in more depth on that, Matt, at the Digital in Kent conference. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on the Business Bunker show. If people want to find out about Matt and Procter and Stevenson, what's the best way of doing that? Your website, I guess.
If you go to our website and fill in a form or send an email, that would be great. It's www.procters.co.uk. You can read more about us and what we do. I hope to see a lot of you at Digital in Kent next month.
Yep, it's 18th of October at the Quarter House in Folkestone from 9 a.m. And you can book your place there, find out about Matt and the other speakers that are on for that day by going to digitalinkent.co.uk. But for the moment, Matt Skinner, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we really look forward to hearing you at Digital in Kent.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it. Take care.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Cheers now.
Bye.
Matt Skinner there of Procter and Stevenson on a mobile phone, so I apologise for the quality of the call a little bit there, but I think it was okay, and you got the gist of what he was saying, which is great. So thank you, Matt, for that. Really good to hear from you. We're still hearing from people out there, and it's probably time, Bird, to start with her. She's getting dressed. Are you off? Are you cold?
Yeah.
Are you?
So I just turned it all off. And then
when you arrived, you started moaning about how warm it was in here. I think you got the shivers, haven't you?
Do you want me to go into some tweets?
Huh?
Should we do some tweets?
Yeah, yeah, please.
There's a brilliant one.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love you to do some tweets.
I know, I know. Right, are you ready?
Yeah, go for
it. I love you so much. So this is Vanilla Web, hashtag BBunker, moaning. They label it.
Is she having a moan?
Wait for this. It's genius. Yeah. And I tell you what, I talk about this all the time. So moaning. I know, but would be interested in others' view, why do we now need to have the word super added to conversations? I'm super excited. I say that all the time.
Oh, that's an awesome question.
It was super difficult. It was super special. It adds nothing to the conversation or the context. Begin the conversation.
It is true, isn't it? We do that. But, you know, we're great adjective machines, really, aren't we? We have to overemphasise everything. I'm as bad as anybody
at
that.
Well, I don't know if it's overemphasising. Here's what I think. I think sometimes it absolutely reflects the energy that you want to give over in that moment.
Yeah.
So maybe, oh my God, I'm super excited.
So when I say you're stonkingly gorgeous, that kind of thing.
I don't believe it, but
no, you don't like it.
No,
but
I don't like it.
But it's the same. It's the same issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It raises that elevation of energy. That's what I believe, Ethel Bray. But I do agree with you on certain things.
Yeah.
There are certain. There's no need to add it.
But I think part of what I guess it's Kate that's.
I'll
that,
imagine.
Yeah, I guess part of that, which is the thing that's a bit annoying, is that we get it trapped into a habit of using the same words over and over again, rather than mixing it up a little bit. And I think that's the annoying thing, isn't it? Because you end up detracting from what you're saying, because everybody... You probably none of you are old enough. There used to be... Do you remember Reginald Perrin, the rise and fall of Reginald Perrin?
Yeah.
And he worked for a company called Sunshine Desserts, and there was a guy in Sunshine Desserts marketing department. And all he ever said was super.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Reggie would go, I was late. He goes, super, super, Reggie, super. And you end up with that kind of thing, really, don't you?
Yeah.
Where you just say the same words and people get blinded by the...
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But anyway, so that was a funny one.
Mm.
And then I've got another one.
Yeah,
and here's funny. You know, sometimes you can bring it up on Twitter and it's on the computer and then I'm on my mobile phone. So this is Spink Spaghetti. I'm just going to stop now.
Spink Spaghetti.
Pink Spaghetti PA Services. Here you go. Well, you said, do you want a shout out? She said, oh, I'd love one, please. I'm recruiting for a new admin assistant at the Mo. So if anyone would be interested in more details, then they can come and connect with me at emily.1ill@pink. One. So it's actually, it says O'Neill.
Ah, I see what
you
did there.
I was like, what? It's emily.oneill@pinkspaghetti. So fantastic. Go and check her out.
Yeah,
thank you.
Cool.
Have a great show. We will. Thank you very much.
I've had a tweet from Gemma at Orchard Employment Law. Gemma Fairclough Haynes.
Ages on
Twitter.
Yeah,
no. Yeah. She says, please could we have a shout out, a lovely Business Bunker shout out.
Super.
This super.
Ethel Bray, a super.
She didn't say super, actually.
I'm sure.
No. She said, can we have a lovely Business Bunker shout out for the lovely listeners about our employment law and HR update event on the 10th of October at the St. George Hotel in Rochester. It's £45 to attend and you can book through Eventbrite or you can DM Gemma for details and I'll tell you her Twitter handle in a moment. So that's updates in employment law and HR. And it's a workshop that's taking place on the 10th of October at the George Hotel in Rochester. And you can follow Gemma on the Twitter. And her Twitter handle is Gemma with a J, Fairhay, all one word. So J-E-M-M-A, F-A-I-R-H-A-Y. And then you can DM Gemma if you want to book on it or find her on Eventbrite.
Nice.
Mm.
Nice.
What you got?
Loads of tweets. It just proves, doesn't it? Now the summer's gone. Everybody's back into their work mode. Here we go. So hi, Vanilla Web and Bird on a Bike. A big shout out to New Appointments Group who are getting their bake on for Friday's Macmillan Coffee Morning. If any friends are in the Sittingbourne or Sandwich, call in for some cake. Now this is, and it says they are... Well, it's their business, isn't it? It's a New Appointments Group. They're on the first floor, 28th of September, 11 till 2. And this is for the Macmillan Coffee Morning. So that's, that's going to be happening everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've just had an interesting tweet from Preparedness for Employment. and they say, hello, Vanilla Web. A few weeks ago, I tweeted to Business Bunker about our study. I got loads of interest from your followers and listeners, so I want to thank you. And would you be interested in sending, telling again or taking part, if you haven't done already, in readiness for an employment questionnaire?
Wow.
So you tweet it, we'll retweet it, and I'm sure they'll fill it in.
It's a great way for us to communicate immediately, rather than you sending an email, it might not get read out. Look, we're here. We're non-stop checking them out, aren't we? But you must put hashtag BBunker.
Yeah, otherwise I can't find it because my timeline gets full of rubbish.
Yeah, and you can see even on my phone. That's why I said on my phone, it's got a bit of a different feed than actually what's coming up on the computer. So we're doing both.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got two phones and a screen here because of that. Do you want to read an email?
I will, yes. The Networkers Networking event is coming up soon, you know.
Thursday, my love.
Yeah, that's at Brands Hatch Place, 27th of September. The theme is of the event is old and new, and they'll be hearing from our speakers about...
See what she's done there? Do you see what she's done there? Because that'll be me that's old, wouldn't it?
And Ben that's new.
New, exactly. You see what she's done there?
Oh, that's ever so rude.
Yeah.
Very funny, Amanda, but very rude. Their speakers are Mr. Andrews, the one and only, a serial entrepreneur. I know you didn't write any of this nonsense. Businessman and mentor. He is. You are, though, and I say that with the greatest
old?
Aspect.
I am old.
No, I don't think say that at all. You're a great mentor to have. We've got Brian Wakefield, who's just amazing. I love him, publisher of the GM Life magazine. I'm gutted I'm not there, actually. And then you've got Ben Abbott, who is the young of the old and new. And he's the owner of Maximum Media. Do you remember when he came in? He was quite interesting talking about the podcasting that he does.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Really interesting how voice is going to be coming up. So that is, early bird tickets have gone. So you need to go on to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk and get your ticket.
It's going to be a great day, as always. Networkers Networking event, it's a really good event. There are other networking groups there as well. So it's an opportunity to get to hear what they are doing in their networking groups. You've got three speakers to hear from, and then there's also some workshops and stuff, and there's stuff to eat. It's a great, great day. Do come along. It's this Thursday.
Super day. Super great.
It's super, super.
It's super great.
It is super, super. Yes. It really is super. Yeah. It's lovely.
Good.
I've had a tweet from Brian the Grants Man.
Where is he?
Yeah, and he says, Vanilla Web, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please, for the grants man. Always think, is there a grant for that? When your small business is thinking of buying anything to help the business. And I know specifically that Brian helps with grants for things that are eco-friendly and green and environmentally friendly and all the rest
of it. There are a lot of grants for that type of endeavour.
Yeah, there are. You know, a much bigger level than this, but I saw something the other day that really, it's not good, actually. It's not, the European Union themselves tweeted that they have 280 billion euros of unallocated funds because people haven't been calling it down. And you think, well, couldn't you give that to Greece and pay off their debt?
Yeah, exactly.
And they were moaning that nobody was calling it down, but
and,
I mean,
and also,
why not use
it
for something?
How are you marketing this?
Exactly.
How do I know if it's there?
Yeah, 280 billion euros.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Let's not go on that. Anyway, we've got a couple of things here. Telcare said, it's Tuesday, and you know what that means, Mr. Andrews?
It's the Business Bunker show.
It is the Business Bunker day. Time to
That's lucky, because I'm here.
Thank goodness. And me.
Hello? Yeah, you're here too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you and me.
It is.
Time
and some others, obviously.
Time to find out what's happening in Kent business community with Vanilla Web. At Bird and Bird and Bike with BBunker. Also, and I like this as well, Origen Training. Is that right? Origen Training?
Yeah.
A big hello from Origen Computer Training. Business Bunker, we have an Excel Intermediate Training in Sittingbourne on the 24th of October. Give us a call on 01892 665353 for more details.
Fantastic.
Love that they've gone old school.
I want to tell you about something I did last week as well.
Can you?
Yeah, I know, I can tell about it now that I've been released by the... No. I was asked to speak at the launch of a new co-working space.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, which is really good fun. In Rye.
Yes.
At the old cinema in Fish Market Lane.
I love the address.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And it's called Space Co-working.
Yeah.
And I spoke at the opening of it a week before last now.
What did you end up speaking about?
Oh, I don't remember. I made it up as I went along.
So you don't know what you're going to speak about till you get there?
No.
And now you can't remember what you spoke about when you were there?
Well, obviously, co-working.
Beautiful.
Yeah. There was a good turnout, and all the great and the good from Rye were there. The mayor was there and everyone. Lots of local councillors and lots of local small businesses as well. So there's obviously a need for it in the area. And Jane and the lovely folks at OnTap Media, OnTap Marketing, that own the building and have turned it into a co-working space, have some fabulous plans. They're actually putting in a mezzanine floor in their building. And also they've acquired another building just behind where they are, which they're going to do some interesting stuff with too. So loads of interesting plans in Wright, in, which is a gorgeous place, if you don't know it, in East Sussex, just over the border there. So space co-working. Yeah, follow them on the Twitter as well.
Ash Lawrence. I'm married from you forever. How are you? A lot of people have already been on my Millionaire Mindset Systems course, and this is a fantastic opportunity for you to experience what all the talk is about by trying this introduction. What are you going to say?
Nothing.
I thought you... What, you are.
I know. No, I wasn't. What are you going to say? I was just going to mention his shorts and flip-flops, but carry on.
Oh, well, that... I don't even...
That's a given.
I was going to say, I don't know if I've ever not seen him in flip-flops.
Once.
No way.
I saw him in a suit and tie. And we went
at his wedding?
It wasn't at a wedding. It was Gareth and Zoe's wedding. And Ash turned up in a suit and tie.
No flip-flops.
I think he had shorts on under his.
Sarah was like, oi, love, you need to get your shoes on. Yeah.
I don't know where he got the suit from. It was obviously new. It still had the labels on.
Right. So he is known as the Psycho Flip-Flop. So anyway, this is... let's go back over that again. So this is his course. It's a fantastic opportunity for you to experience what all the talk is about by trying this introductory seminar. So this is Change Your Mind, Change Your Business. Now, you need to go onto... We haven't got any dates for it. Hold on, keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm just going on to this thing now. It's on Eventbrite, and it is on Friday the 28th of September, 2 till 4, and guess what, it's at St George's Hotel as well in Chatham, so go check it out. It's on Eventbrite, go and have a look. It's
fantastic.
Free. It's free.
Kenwood Trust are celebrating their 50th anniversary with a classic car rally and family fun day. The Kenwood Trust, who are a leading drug and alcohol residential rehabilitation centre based at Yalding near Maidstone, will celebrate 50 years of saving lives with a classic car rally and family fun day on Sunday the 16th of September. That's gone, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Ah, that's no good then, is it?
We just love Kenwood anyway, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Well, I hope you enjoyed it if you went.
Summer Mesa would love a shout out on Business Bunker for their special webinar, Working Cancer, this Friday. And again, it's the Macmillan Coffee Morning. So they're offering 3 hours webinar on managing cancer at work. Really important to do that. So go along and check them out.
Fantastic. The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with the University of Kent Business School. They're going to be bringing regular information and insights from their business research that's been undertaken at the university, and they're looking to forge links with SMEs. And the university will be listing details of various events, networking, meetings, and their annual business summit. And they're going to be regularly talking to us on the Business Bunker Show about all of those kind of things. They staged a business summit last January. You can find out the details from that summit and the outcome of it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS, and there's a link there to download the report from last year's summit. They are going to be holding a summit again in 2019 in January, and when the dates are organised, we will tell you all about that. But for the moment, they're staging some what they're calling business soundbites events, and these are free, and there's two scheduled at the moment. The next one is on the 23rd of October, and they're doing this in conjunction with the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate. It's a totally free event, and this one is called The Curiosity Cost. Yeah, it's about understanding creativity and the cost of curiosity. Now, it is a reschedule because it was originally scheduled to happen on the day that England qualified for the World Cup semi-final, so they kind of put it off a bit. So it's happening on the 23rd of October. And then after that, on the 21st of November, their next business soundbite event is Man and Machine, The End of an Era, Are Robots Taking Over the Workplace? And that's taking place at the Kent Business School at the Sibson Building on the campus in Canterbury. You can find out about both of those free events, and they're both evening events starting at 5, by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS. You can find out about the events, you can find out who's there, and you can book your ticket, yeah?
I went last week
to Patricia's. Yeah, did you?
Remember we had her on the show? And
you did.
I love Dr. Patricia Lewis. And it was all about, is feminine leadership only for women? Was the title of the working research. And it was amazing. Mm. So you go there, you have a coffee, you start to meet different people. Mm. They're not necessarily people who have got businesses. There were lots of HR people there coming to see how to that gender diversity. Really interesting. Mm. Really interesting to hear from different academics. So here's what I love about academia. We do love to have a nice conversation and we don't all have to agree. Mm. It's brilliant. So I came out going, well, none of us agreed. We've got no agreement at all. But what a great conversation to have, which is what it should be all about. You had a psychologist there. You had a sociologist there, all disagreeing, but agreeing that there was a challenge to be upheld. And really interesting. So go. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. They lay on coffees. It's a really good evening.
They're good evenings, aren't they? Mm. And as you say, it's, you know, a lot of people get this view that there's one kind of thrust for something that the academics do, but the Kent Business School are really keen to, on feedback. They're really keen to hear from small businesses. And Florgy, who is organising a lot of this stuff, she was on the show a few months ago, and we were talking about this, and what they were saying is that traditionally a lot of the research stuff that they've done has been with big businesses. But
or politics. There was a lot of politics and or corporates, and we were going, whoa, it's not comparable.
Yeah.
But actually, the trends are, you can predict trends.
Yeah.
You can see it working through the whole of an organisation. You go back to Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Exactly.
You know, it's exactly the same.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
He's haunted me all my life.
Well, Maslow.
Yeah, I tell
Abraham. Do you know Maslow was one of the people that actually defined the word motivation?
It would never surprise me.
Yeah. It didn't actually exist. He actually coined the term in 1954.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really interesting. When I was doing my nurse training, they were trying to say, look at an organisation. Like, what has this got to do with nursing? They actually were bang on. It has got everything to do with human beings. But we actually had this big debate with them about how really the triangle could be turned around. You can be self-actualised without actually having well-being or health. Fascinating.
Mm. It's one of those models that kind of has been abused a bit over the years as well, isn't it?
But it's so relevant to then and today.
Mm, absolutely. Mm. Nice one. Something I was doing a few days ago, which I just wanted...
Eating?
Yeah, no, I was eating, actually. It was a lunch. But
resting? The opposite of me.
But I came across some... Fran Borman and Keith Mabbott, and they were talking about Goal 17, which is something that they've started, it's a charity they've started, and I just want to tell you about it because it's a really powerful thing they're doing, and they're tackling youth homelessness head on, and we did a few videos to support that, which you can see on my Facebook page, but they're looking at youth homelessness, so do check out the hashtag Goal17 and Fran Borman and Keith Mabbott because they're doing a great job there.
Here, Keith, you missed it and so did I. Keith spoke at Business Diaries last week, didn't he?
Yeah, I was at the speaker's platform that night, so I missed it, which is a shame. It's the first one I've missed.
Yeah, me too.
Mm. But yeah, I hear it was really good.
It was. You had a lot of people there, a lot of different ones. You had. I had a really good chat from Carrie Stay, apparently did a really good talk.
Well, I saw some pictures of her with a Viking shield and a weapon of some kind.
She uses that.
Yeah. I know she's into that, and it's something that I'm really fascinated in as well. What are you laughing at?
I know, right?
Yeah, Kelly, Shelley's laughing her head off. Go on, Shelley, tell us, what are you laughing at?
I'm just trying to picture it.
Oh, you're trying to picture a wench in Viking gear.
What, Mr. Andrews dressed up in as a wench?
Exactly.
See, you fell right into
that. I'd be a berserker. That's what I would be. Do you know what a berserker is?
You knew that we wouldn't. That's why you've just done that. What's a berserker? Is that like a gun?
No, no, it's the nutters that used to wade ashore first from a Viking longboat when they were attacking things. Basically, high on drugs, and they were normally naked. And
you're just going deeper in. It's just
level now, isn't it?
Look, this is a professional business show.
I'm just telling you, it's interesting. But a berserker, which is where our term berserk comes from, is this nutcase that would launch themselves into the enemy completely naked and normally with things alight in their beard or whatever, just to be as scary as they could possibly be. Yeah, so that's what I would have been.
Poor Amanda.
Berserker.
Oh, poor yeah. Amanda.
Yeah, but you don't last long, really, do you? It's all over in an instant because you got killed.
Right, let's get on some professional stuff here. Digital in Kent Conference 2018, Thursday the 18th of October, 9 a.m. till 3:30. It's at the Quarter House in Folkestone. So join us on their 10th Digital in Kent Conference. Achieve digital marketing success. So they have keynotes, they have bold talks, they have big ideas. You need to go on to www.com.
Well, it's World Wide Web, isn't it?
It is, digitalinkent.co.uk.
Building Business with Purpose, a social enterprise Kent event, and they're hosting a key social enterprise conference on the 23rd of November, and it's for social entrepreneurs, and it's in Ashford. There are only 50 spaces available, so you can register your interest now. And the way to do that is to go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/SEK-conference, SEK-conference, find out all about it. Or follow them on the Twitter, SocEntKent, that's SocEntKent, that's their Twitter handle.
Cool. How did speakers go? How did
the speaking platform? Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it was really good. It was a competition that I judged last week.
Yeah.
Lots of people entered. There was a panel of three judges, myself, the lovely Jane Farham, who's the owner and director of the British Speakers Bureau, and Amy McManus from AM Marketing, who just won Female Speaker of the Year. We were the judges. We picked four out of the entries to go through to a final, and each of those four people did a talk, and then the audience and the judges picked a winner from those four. I know judges always say this, but it was hellishly difficult because all of them were brilliant.
Okay, here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
What did you see as a trend that people were doing, and how did the winner win it?
Okay, for me, as a former professional speaker, i.e. someone who got paid for speaking, the talks I saw were good. They were all delivered passionately. For me, the issue was, and I don't want to be horrible here, but basically all four of the speakers had a personal story at the start of their talk that was a bit of a knee jerk. It's a sad story. And the reason people do that is they try to get the audience on side, to empathise with them. And you and I know, Bud, that you can't make a living doing that. But you don't need to. Yeah, if you want to get the audience on side, there are other ways to do it. But that's what they did.
But that's a trend at the minute as well, to be fair. That's a big thing where we're told, tell your story so that you engage with somebody.
Yeah,
so that-
and the thing is, it's interesting this, because you're absolutely right. People say, tell your story. But so what people want to do though is find something that's highly emotional, you know, that's got some passion about it, you know, because most of us, the stories we've got to tell are just ordinary everyday things, aren't they? Like, I got up this morning and I had egg and bacon, and then people go, yeah, me too. So people look for highly emotive stories to tell, and that's okay, but you can't live on just highly emotive stories like that.
Well, people are.
Yeah, well, they try to.
But I don't think it's going to last for much longer, do we?
Yeah.
How did the winner win?
It was won by a chap called Sati Koka. And for me, I can only talk about me and why I
love this. I love what you're going to say.
It was the style in which he delivered the talk which really got me. He had a very gentle and concise delivery style, and I just thoroughly enjoyed listening to him, and I didn't really have to pay attention to what he was actually saying. I did, obviously, but do you know what I mean? It was just the way he delivered the talk. It was natural, it was gentle, it was lovely. It was totally the opposite to the way I deliver a talk, but we all have our own style, and it was just natural. He naturally did it. What you often see with people is they lack confidence in their own knowledge of their topic, so they have notes, and that doesn't ever do it
for
me.
And again, that's a debatable area, isn't it? Is, do you use notes, do you use cards or not? For me, and I've done it a couple times and it's not worked either time, so I stopped. For me, it disconnects me with you.
Yeah.
And the first thing for me is I want to connect myself with you, because it's all about, we were saying about your workshop, we were saying you should just make it all about you, but actually the you isn't myself is about you, the audience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do this all the time. Whenever I speak, I always say, how are you, my darling? Mm. Even on my radio show, because actually you're only listening as one person.
Yeah.
You're not listening as an audience.
Absolutely.
But I'm speaking to an audience. So it's really, it's about changing the way you communicate style on stage.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, absolutely. And it is always about the audience getting something out of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing. The four finalists were all brilliant. The four finalists were Sotee, who was the eventual winner, Aaron Taylor, Julie Daniels, and Liu Batchelor.
Liu,
They were all brilliant. They were all really good. They'd all really put their heart and soul into what they were doing. It was a very hard choice to choose the overall winner. They all had something slightly different about what they were doing. They've all got the ability to deliver talks. I'm going to be doing a workshop with them, all of them, to talk about how they develop that. And I'm going to be doing a one-to-one with Sotee.
But here's the honesty with it as well. You just have to do the work. You have to speak at anything, everything, and do the work. That's it.
Yeah.
Just speak, keep speaking, watch what happens. Stand at the side of an event, not at the back, or sit at the front. When you when you're a speaker, they usually put you in a certain area, and I say, don't do that. Go and stand on the side. Watch as that speaker's speaking. Watch the audience and how they interact with you. All of that. Go to conferences. Go and listen to stuff. Go and watch a speaker deliver, and go, I love that. Actually, that wouldn't work for me.
It's really interesting. I spoke on a platform. I used to work as a paid speaker. And I spoke on a platform at the QE2 Centre in London, in Victoria. And there was a huge lineup of other paid speakers. And there was a chap there. I won't tell his name because it'd be a bit embarrassing. But he was very well known in the business world and had subsequently become a Member of Parliament. But he was best known for turning around a massive company. And his PA in the green room was saying to me, he's brilliant, he's so bull. So I thought, I'm going to go and watch this. And I did exactly that. I stood at the side of the stage so I could see him and the audience. And he was as boring as hell. And one look at the audience told you that. Yeah, they were disengaged, that none of them were paying attention, they weren't interested. And he was doing his stuff and being very happy about what he was doing. But he wasn't looking at the audience, and nor was anyone else. And looking at them, you could see they just weren't interested.
And here's an interesting thing as well. When I, because I've spoken, we're the same, we've spoken so many times on stage, it's what we love to do. I went into a boardroom the other day, into an exec meeting, and it was like I was speaking Eskimo and they were speaking Cantonese. They could not go along with me. Now, do you continue? And it's the same. It's the same thing. You're still speaking on a stage, but you're like, wow, all of a sudden my speaking, you know, I was like, why can't I change the way I'm delivering this now? Because you're not, and I could see it, and I just had to go all in and just think, oh, you know, I'm going to have to come back again and deliver it completely different to what you are hearing, because you can't go with me today.
Sometimes you just get a difficult audience and you get it wrong. I spoke at a conference in Glasgow, okay, and I was the first speaker on at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. And at the weekend, England and Scotland had played at rugby, and England had absolutely smashed the Scots, right? And I'm in Glasgow, and I got up and I went, hey, did you see the game? And of course, and that was it. I was dead meat from there. I could have given away gold bars, and I was dead in the water.
Exactly. And you still get it wrong, don't we? We still get it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just got to do the work.
Yeah. We still got tweets coming in. We still got loads of emails to read you. 30-30 Business in Schools program. We ran one at Rootham School last week. It was absolutely fabulous. It was the best one we've done.
You're joking.
No, it really was good.
Why was that?
I'll tell you exactly why it was good. The school management had really bought into it.
Okay.
Really bought into it. They weren't just ticking boxes. You know, some of the schools we go to, they're clearly just ticking the box. A lot of the schools that we go to aren't, but this one, the head teacher, they it was an interesting setup. They had a head teacher and an executive headmaster as well, which I guess was running it as a business. Both there, the careers teachers were there, the sixth form teachers were there, but they'd all bought into it, and they were all really keen to be there. It was a really good event.
It's like a hallelujah moment there.
It really made it worthwhile, and the students were brilliant.
And yet the timing, you wouldn't think yet, that they would be at the right time, because they've just come back to school, the sixth form, they've just, are they new sixth form or are they?
They're all new sixth formers.
So you wouldn't think they would have any idea.
And it was voluntary, and there were 70 students Amazing. Turned up to it. Biggest number we've ever had.
So the school made a difference in the marketing.
Yeah, well, and I think it was the attitude of the management of the school. Yeah, they obviously take this kind of thing seriously, and they take building relationships with businesses seriously, and it imparted that to the students, and then the students were keen. So the whole thing worked really well. So a huge big up to Angeline, head of Sixth Form Careers, and the whole team at Rootham School. Nice one.
Love it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. We really enjoyed it.
They should write about that and then give a model so that you can give to other schools, say, look, this is what worked.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And then our next one will be in November at Wilmington Academy, the Longfield Academy. We're really looking forward to that. We do a lot of work with the Lee Academy group, and they're really brilliant too, with Louisa Felstead and the team there. So the next 30-30 is there.
Well, I've got something very similar to that, which is Young Enterprise. Mm. The YE Company programme in schools looks to provide a business mentor to a school team who set up a real company and trade for a year. So YE are looking for business advisors and supporters to help in the Ashford and South Kent region. If you would like to know more, please email Trudy Hartridge, and that's great. Email. So it's trudge.hartridge@y/e.org.uk.
Fantastic. I love Young Enterprise, and I really wish more schools would enter it. It is really good fun. They also do a thing called the Fiver Challenge and the Tenner Challenge, and I've done a couple of. I'm the regional judge on the panel for Young Enterprise in the Ashford.
Didn't we a couple of years ago have some of the YE come in who'd won the competition?
They did.
They did a great business.
Yeah. They came in as guests on the studio station.
Petrified, but they were brilliant. They were brilliant. Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, we're going to join the newsroom now, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to some fantastic guests that we got here. Let's go.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.